Well, hello, this is Pastor John, and thank you so much for coming to my website today. I have an awful lot to cover. You're listening to Ram Radio, the webcast, which is the biblical alternative. It's March 2009 in the United States of America, the biblical alternative. Well, I'm excited. At the same time, a little depressed, but excited. Because you know what? Oh, gosh, Ramey, I want to thank you. It's a Thursday morning. As a matter of fact, to be exact, it's March the 12th. I want to give you the right date and so that you know when you're listening to this webcast, if you're downloading it and keeping it on MP3 historically so that you can come back and listen to it, maybe it'll have great significance in your life as you listen to this down in the future. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says that we ought to sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts. I thank God for that. Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account of the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and with reverence. And I think that we need to spend a little bit more time talking with each other about pertinent matters in our lives and helping each other bear the burden of being a Christian these days, because being a Christian these days costs us something. It's costing us something, people.
Call from 800.
Nah, you see, you don't pick up those phone calls. Let me start off by reading an article. Hold on. Okay. Let me start off by reading an article to you. And the name of the article is called The Coming Evangelical Collapse. I like this article. I want to thank the person that sent it to me. An anti-Christian chapter in Western history is about to begin. But out of the ruins, a new vitality and integrity will arise. This article is by Michael Spencer, and it was written on March the 10th, 2009. And he's in Oneida, I guess that's where you say that, Oneida, Kentucky. Listen to this. And I want you to pay attention to this, and then you know how close we are. Why I'm encouraged. We are on the verge within 10 years of a major collapse of evangelical Christianity. Love the article because I agree with that 100%. I was telling some students of mine as we were having lunch this very same thing, 10 to 15 years. Says this breakdown will follow the deterioration of the mainline Protestant world, and it will fundamentally alter the religious and cultural environment in the West. Within two generations, evangelicalism will be a house deserted of half its occupants. Between 25 and 35% of Americans today are evangelicals. In the Protestant 20th century, evangelicals flourished, but they will soon be living in a very secular and religiously antagonistic 21st century. We are headed towards that. As a matter of fact, I think that we are on the living brink of it right now. The article goes on and says that this collapse will herald the arrival of an anti-Christian chapter of post-Christian West. Intolerance of Christianity will rise to levels many of us have not believed possible in our lifetimes. I love this article because that's where I am, and that's why I feel depressed, because I never thought that I would live to see it. Jesus, I'm 65 and I'm still here. And I pray for the young people because they're left and they're going to have to experience this. Check this out now. And public policy will become hostile towards evangelical Christianity, seeing it as an opponent of the common good. This is happening already. I mean, it's when I have discussions in the classroom, in the college, I'm telling you people, 99% of the students in college have no affinity to God the way I would view God at all. 99%. So I'm telling you that the gloss over effect has worked in the educational system. Quiet is kept. I don't know how much longer I'm going to last teaching in that system at all. The article goes on and says millions of evangelicals will quit. I know that's true. Thousands of ministries will end. Christian media will be reduced, if not eliminated. I've been fired off so many stations, I just don't even count anymore. Many Christian schools will go into rapid decline. And this writer says, and I'm convinced that the grace and mission of God will reach to the ends of the earth, but the ends of evangelicism, as we know it, closes. In other words, God's grace is going to go elsewhere, but it's not going to be flourishing here. Why is this going to happen? The author writes, he says, number one, evangelicals have identified their movement with the culture war and with political conservatism. This will prove to be a very costly mistake, and it was. That's why I've often said to you guys, don't be getting wrapped up in the voting stuff. You're going to lose your mind behind that. He goes on and says that evangelicals will increasingly be seen as a threat to cultural progress. Public leaders will consider us bad for America, bad for education, bad for children, and bad for society. I've been saying that. Keep your mouths shut. Nobody wants to hear about what you believe about the Bible, Christian. They don't want to hear it. Trust me. Listen to this. The evangelical investment in moral, social, and political issues has depleted our resources and exposed our weaknesses. Being against gay marriage and being rhetorically pro-life will not make up for the fact that massive majorities of evangelicals can't articulate the gospel with any coherence. We fail for the trap of believing in a cause more than a faith. You know what? I don't know who this guy is, but that's me. Let's keep reading this. This is beautiful. Secondly, he says that we evangelicals have failed to pass on to our young people an orthodox form of faith that can take root and survive the secular onslaught. Ironically, billions of dollars we've spent on youth ministries, Christian music, publishing, and media has produced a culture of young Christians who know next to nothing about their own faith except how they feel about it. Haven't I been saying that? Isn't this guy saying exactly what I've been telling you guys for years? Wow. And then he says that Mikhail, I want to thank you for sending me the article because it's exactly what I've been saying for years. Then it says that our young people have deep beliefs about the culture war, but do not know why they should obey scripture. The essentials of theology are the experience of spiritual discipline and community. Coming generations of Christians are going to be monumentally ignorant and unprepared for culture-wide pressures. This is happening already. I see it in the Bible study groups that I teach. In the Bible study groups that I teach, I'm teaching some same lessons that I taught 5 and 6 years ago to the same group of people. They don't even remember them. No one once have said, hey, haven't you taught that before? Because it hasn't taken root. And I'm going to tell you people something. I haven't prepared really a new Bible study to teach in my Bible study for the past 2 years. I'm repeating them. Same old lessons. And some of these people still don't have the aggressiveness to live up to their faith. And I'm not just talking about Anselm. I'm talking about Christians that I come in contact with all the time. Thirdly, this author writes and says there are three kinds of evangelical churches today. Consumer-driven megachurches. Yeah, some of you probably belong to that. John MacArthur is one of them. Man, I'm telling you, these, and I got to start off with that, and I got to say it because you know what? These guys that go to these places and get these degrees, and listen, is this real Christianity? Or is this a consumer-driven megachurch? Then it says, secondly, dying churches and new churches whose future is fragile. See, now I'm in one of those churches called a dying church because, you know, it ain't growing, and we're coming to find out that the ones that are still hanging around me are the real deal, but you'd still call me a dying church. And then the new church, which is fragile. Denominations will shrink, this author says, even vanish, while fewer and fewer evangelical churches will survive and thrive. And the guy's right about it. He is 100% right. Look at number four. Despite some very successful developments within the past 25 years, Christian education has not produced a product that can withstand the rising tide of secularism. That's right. We've blended in our music, our dress code, our cultures, everything. I mean, we're all in the church but sagging, okay? Evangelicism has used its educational system primarily to staff its own needs and to talk to itself. My goodness, this guy should be a guest of mine on the webcast. I should get in touch with him because that's all they've been saying. You're pushing your own agenda, church. Nobody wants to hear that. Fifthly, the confrontation between cultural secularism and faith at the core of evangelical efforts to do good, quote unquote, is rapidly approaching. We will soon see the good evangelicals want to do well to be viewed as bad by so many. Let me read that again. We will soon see that the good evangelicals want to do will be viewed as bad by so many, and much of that work will not be done. I understand now. Look for ministries, he says, to take on a less and less distinctively Christian face in order to survive. Now, once you look at the hip-hop churches, that's what he's talking about. It's less and less of a Christian face. They're trying to look like the world in order to survive. We've got to dumb it down to keep the dummies coming in. Sixthly, even in areas where evangelicals imagine themselves strong, like in the Bible Belt, this particular writer says that we will find a great inability to pass on to our children the vital evangelical confidence in the Bible and the importance of the faith. And seventhly, yep, that's true. And seventhly, the money will dry up. And it's about doing that now. See, giving all this money to all of these R.C. Sproul's and his books and his commentaries and all this. Man, you've seen me on YouTube. I got books in my library stacked behind me. This is just one office with books in it. I got a living room, a double bookshelves on each side of the fireplace, stacked with books. And then when you go out into my classroom, I got three sections of books, it's stacked with books. I used to teach theology to students. You think it's done them any good? Very little. Very little. Some of my students are still arguing about what I taught them. I said, my goodness, that's not why we go to school. So, what will be left, this author asks. He says, expect evangelicism to look more and more like pragmatic, therapeutic, church growth-oriented megachurches that have defined success. Did you hear that? Expect evangelicism to look like the pragmatic, therapeutic, church growth-oriented megachurches that have defined success. See, a big church doesn't define success for me. I had a fallout with a dear friend of mine, James Washington, because he went into that. And I was trying to tell him, that is not success, man. That is not success. I know a preacher here that left Los Angeles, had a little building over here on 57th Street, left there and took a huge church down in Florida when the pastor was accused of molesting some women in the church. Because that, to a lot of these, H.B. Charles is his name, H.B. Charles Jr. His daddy was a mess, and I guess he's following in suit. Oh, you can't talk about, I just did, sick of you. Because you're defining bigness with success. That is not Christianity. This author goes on and says that emphasis will shift from doctrine to relevance, motivation, and personal success. Have you heard that in your churches? Resulting in churches further compromising themselves and being weakened by their ability to pass on the faith. See, you can't pass on the faith if you're trying to motivationally motivate someone to do something. Oh my goodness, this article is so nice. He goes on and says, two of the beneficiaries will be the Roman Catholic and the Orthodox communions, because evangelicals have been entering these churches in recent decades, and that trend will continue, with more efforts aimed at the conversion of evangelicals to the Catholic and Orthodox traditions. And, you know, because a lot of them are going in there because they're trying to get back to, and I can understand that drift, they're trying to get back into, well, let's go into the Holy of Holies and get in touch with the old time seeking of God. Yeah, right. The author goes on and says that a small band will work hard to rescue the movement from its demise through theological renewal. This is an attractive, innovative, and tireless community with outstanding media publishing and leadership development. Nonetheless, this writer says, I believe that the coming evangelical collapse will not result in a second reformation, though it may result in benefits for many churches and the beginnings of new churches. Oh, yeah, you know, hey, they're just going to come up with a new paradigm. But not dealing with the age-old problem of compromise in the church. This writer goes on and says that the emerging church will largely vanish from the evangelical landscape, becoming a part of the small segment of progressive mainline Protestants that remain true to liberal vision. Aggressively, he says, evangelistic fundamentalist churches will begin to disappear. Oh, yeah. Well, the persecution is going to make them disappear. Because when it comes to living up to your faith or falling in for the compromise or the pressure from the world, they're going to disappear. Let's see what he says about the charismatic. He says, charismatic Pentecostal Christianity will become the majority report in evangelicism. Can this community withstand heresy, relativism, and confusion? To do so, it must make a priority of biblical authority, responsible leadership, and an emergence of orthodoxy. Well, that's not going to happen because they're so busy trying to speak in tongues and, you know, wachala, wachala. Well, let me leave that one alone. The writer goes on and says evangelicism needs a rescue mission from the world Christian community. It is time for missionaries to come to America from Asia and Africa. Will they come? Will they be able to bring to our culture a more vital form of Christianity? Ain't this a trip? The very people that was over there living in rice paddies and eating cow dung is now going to come over here and try to event. Oh, my goodness. What have we done? What have we done? Wait a minute. This writer says, expect a fragmented response to the culture war. Right. Because it's not, the church can't respond to the culture war. They're competing to be a part of it. Wait a minute. He goes on and says, some evangelicals will work to create their own counterculture rather than try to change the culture at large. Well, my particular belief system on that is we can't change anything. God is the one that changes. The only thing that we were told to do is to live out our faith, not to force it down anyone else's throat. Now, you guys can take that any way you want it. I've been telling you that for years.